You're listening to the Live, Love, Engage podcast. On today's show, we're going to be talking about how you can exponentially reach more profitable customers. Stay tuned. I am Gloria Grace Rand, founder of The Love Method and author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Live, Love, Engage, How to Stop Doubting Yourself and Start Being Yourself. In this podcast, we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically so you can create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. Welcome to Live, Love, Engage. Namaste, and welcome to Live, Love, Engage. I am Gloria Grace Rand, and I've got a lovely guest with me on the show today who is a rock and roll guy, I'll tell you. But I'm going to tell you more about him in a minute. But first, I want to just welcome Adam Homey to Live, Love, Engage.
Gloria, it is so awesome to be here. I know we've been speaking about a number of things over the past few months, and I have been on the edge of my seat for the opportunity to be of service to your community, market, and audience. So I trust that there is something that our listeners are going to discover as they lean in, tune in, and open their opportunities to what's before them that they may find beneficial in their businesses and their lives.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. I had the pleasure of being a guest on your podcast. Yep. And I appreciate that very much, that opportunity. So let me get down to it and share with our listeners and viewers on YouTube just who Adam Homey is. You are a speaker, author, trainer, and a consultant with nearly 20 years experience helping business creators win at the game of business and marketing so you can thrive from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion while making a difference for your community, market, and audience. He's the author of Groundhog Day is an Event, Not a Business Strategy, which we may talk about that a little bit later too, because I'm very curious to hear about that. And what I want to get started talking about right now is that he's also the creator of something called the REACH system, and REACH is an acronym, which I'm sure he'll explain. And it's a way to be able to help you to exponentially reach more profitable customers. So yeah, tell us a little bit. Let's start there. Tell us a little bit about the REACH system, and then I might go back later and get a little bit more into how you came to be here today, what your background is.
I've been involved in podcasting for about 10 years now, both as a host and as a guest. I was also involved in the launch of one of the very first agencies that pioneered the current environment of business that connects podcast hosts with podcast guests. And in fact, I was, other than her dad, her very first paying client. I've almost pretty much revealed who it is. Anyway, it's something that's always fascinated me, this modality of podcasting as not even so much a competitor, but as a new wave of how we share information and make connections with each other. I've been arguing for many years that the primary, in my view, impact of social media is the democratization of information dissemination. And that's a lot of long words, so let me break it down.
Yeah.
These days, if I decided that I wanted to be a news network, I can set up a website, I can install WordPress, go to some company like ThemeForest, do a search for news media WordPress themes, find one, upload it, get somebody to whip me up a logo, and by 3 o'clock this afternoon, I could be a news network. Just post a few articles on it, and voila, I'm now a news source. So that's both a blessing and a curse for us.
That's true.
The curse, let's just get that out of the way, is anybody can get up there and spew anything. The blessing, and I like to focus on the blessings of things, is it allows for new voices to be heard outside of the narrow container of the censorship that is practiced by the corporate-owned media. Yeah, don't at me on that because it's documented. At any rate, I'm a big believer in free speech. I'm a believer that we all have our intersections of our brilliance and our passion. And we have our own unique gifts that we bring to the world. And I love how podcasting is a vehicle to do that. It's actually pretty simple to get started. And when you have a system in place that makes you enthusiastic to keep going, it builds what Grandma Homie used to refer to as stick-to-itiveness, where you find yourself just naturally excited about the prospect of interviewing new people every single week. In our variation of podcasting, and there are competitors of mine, I happen to be friends with a lot of my competitors, there's a lot of focus on interview influencers. Well, I focus on become an influencer. Use your podcast as your key networking, client attraction, and celebrity expert branding tool. As you do that, you will connect with more people who will become part of your tribe, part of your alliance, and part of your movement to make the change that you want to see in the world. In fact, I'll preface something I know that you want to discuss further. The way you and I met is, as I was building my Everything Podcasting Community, it's the name of my Facebook group, you were one of the folks who were invited to join. And then I decided to start what I call the Brilliance Plus Passion Project, which is a podcast. Mm-hmm. My goal in doing that podcast, and I have two different podcasts that serve two different purposes, but the purpose of this one is I looked in that group and I saw hundreds of people who were in my group. Some of them were new friends, some of them were old friends. And I wanted to, in fact, I'm still dedicated to having a sit down and having a conversation with every single one of them. So what am I going to do? Am I going to message them and say, hey, great to connect. How are you? Okay, that's not creepy. And that never shows up when you're extremely busy. All right. Or I could say, hey, Gloria, I noticed you is a coach. What do you think about coaching today? Okay, gee, that's not opening a fake conversation. It's inevitably going to lead to me pitching you.
Exactly.
And then there's my favorite, which is, hi, Gloria, glad to connect. And then they get a message about this long. Yes. It's me, case study, result. You're not in business if you don't reply to this. When can we schedule a conversation? And then there's the other. It's like, hey, I like to get to know my connections in depth. Want to hop on a Zoom for a virtual coffee? Yeah, so you can tell me about your business and hope I volunteer myself as a client. Now, let's take all those and set them aside and contrast them to this approach. Hey, Gloria, it's really nice to connect with you. So I have a podcast. Would you like to be on it?
Boom.
you're most likely, and when I keep it real pithy like that,
yeah.
Nice to meet you. I have a podcast. Would you like to consider being on it? That's the entire message. We don't get into the pitch of, this is the name of the podcast. This is what it's about. This is who we serve. This is our avatar. I have a podcast. You want on? That's it. I simply want to get the answers of yes or tell me more. Mm-hmm. And at that point, we've opened a conversation. Then once we get you on the show, we then have the opportunity to get to know each other a bit more in depth in a way that allows us to mutually serve our respective communities, markets, and audience as we build the know, like, and trust between us. So by the time we get done with the interview and we get out to what's known as the green room, both of us already have a bit of a sense of, wow, we might really enjoy working with this person in another level, whether it's you becoming my client, me becoming your client, or maybe we do something together, or maybe one of us has an opportunity to introduce the other two. Maybe somebody has a referral for the other person. The right. point of it is it opens conversations that lead to more closed deals and expanded opportunities.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. And one thing you mentioned early on that I will point to is the fact that having a podcast, it does, especially if you're doing interviews like you do, like I do, is that I really do look forward to interviewing people. I look forward to meeting them, to learning all about them. And it is a wonderful way to be able to connect. And I'm also serving the audience as well by allowing mm-hmm. them to learn about my guest and what they have to offer. So,
yes, ma'am.
So tell me, so obviously, I guess that, or I should say, I gather then the REACH system has something to do with this, but what does it stand for something, or are you just being clever and putting periods after each letter?
No, REACH stands for something. Okay. So it's an acronym. The okay. R stands for represent, reinvent, and reverberate your business and brand. So it's mm-hmm. about creating your media outlet, using the power of organic content, multi-purposing to multiply your current efforts and take charge of the conversation with your community, market, and effort, and audience rather. Mm-hmm. The E is about engaging your ideal prospects, clients, customers, and business allies. the analogy I gave you before of, you know, what are some of the messages you receive from your new social media connections? Then there's one I didn't mention. There's the free strategy session model. Like, hey, nice to connect with you. I'm offering free strategy sessions about blah, 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 blah right now. Would you like to sign up? And you're thinking, gee, I'd like to connect with him, but if I have to sit through a pitch, no.
Yeah, right.
However, in contrast to what can be up to a 50%, yes, 50% no-show rate on scheduled free strategy sessions, podcasts have a 99% yes show rate. Mm. I think in my many years of being a podcast guest, I might have missed one episode. In fact, what actually stands out is it was a Tuesday and I ended up writing to my guest apologizing for missing the episode. And it turned out I was wrong. The interview was actually on Wednesday. He busted my chops for that one, but good. And as far as being a host, I think there's been one case where the person just didn't show up at all and didn't respond to our attempts to get them on the air. And I later found out the person had brain cancer.
Which
to me is a pretty valid, justification for maybe mixing up your schedule a little bit.
And
I only bring that up just to illustrate how high of a success rate in terms of creating the engagement that podcast gives you. That's the E. The A, achieve greater presence and make a difference. The democratization of information dissemination means we all can raise our own voices and make our messages heard. And it also, as a host, by interviewing people, you credentialize them. By allowing me, by gifting me this opportunity to share on your show, you are credentializing me, saying, hey, this Adam guy, he is somebody who I think highly of. He's somebody who I think has some good information. So I deem him worthy to be on my show. You're credentializing me. Yeah. That's a feather in my cap. Just like I gave you a feather when you were on the Brilliance Plus Passion Project.
Right.
So in doing so, you transform folks into unpaid evangelists for your business and brand because they want to share they were on your show. The C is close more deals and create the business and lifestyle you deserve. I said it earlier. Open more conversations that lead to more closed deals and expanded opportunities. Persuade prospects you have not yet met to see themselves hiring you to deliver your products and solutions and create their results. And the H has a double meaning. Mm-hmm. Harmonize with your market and become the hunted, not the hunter. So by having the modality of podcasting gives you the opportunity to do real-time message testing to find out how you calibrate and harmonize with the avatars you're seeking to reach. And what's also really cool about it, and I discovered this is the first of maybe 30 or 40 times this has happened to me over the years. I still get a laugh over it. I think of all those times before I had a podcast where I really wanted to connect with somebody and I reached out to them. They said, oh, I don't have time for you. Don't bother me again. And then those same people, once word got out that I had a podcast and they started to see some interesting names in my lineup of guests, they said, hey, I saw your podcast and I was wondering, is my topic something you might be interested in? I said, well, I'll tell you what I did candidly is, I actually let most of them on, but I did say, hey, remember this email that you or your assistant sent me back in 2009 where you suggested I do this anatomically impossible thing because I had the nerve to say hello to you? So the point about that is instead of, you know, being the hunter saying, please, 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 may I have another bowl of porridge? Mm-hmm. Now you have people chasing you down.
Yes.
And think of it this way. I have said, and I have an article I wrote about this, which has caused a bit of controversy, where the title of it is actually, candidly, launch your podcast and get free business coaching. If I were to come to you and say, Gloria, you know, I like those posts you're doing, and I'm kind of interested in that topic. Is there any way that we could hop on a Zoom and I could pick your brain for a little bit? Okay, now compare that to, you know, Gloria, I saw your post on X, and you know, I find that pretty interesting, and I happen to have a podcast, and I think my listeners would be interested too. Would you like to be on? I've said, and my usual answer to people who want to pick my brain is as follows. I say, oh, so you want to pick my brain, huh? Well, you have a podcast? If they say yes, I say, cool, have me on it. Promote me out, promote the hell out of it. Make it one of your greatest hits episodes, and I'll give you my really good stuff.
I like that.
You may give away more when you're being interviewed on a podcast.
Yes.
Because you know it's benefiting your business and brand than when you're letting somebody pick your brain because they're trying to pick up the crumbs rather than pay for coaching.
Absolutely.
You actually find yourself in, you know, if you actually find that even though you know your host is picking your brain, you may actually give them more because you perceive a mutual benefit in doing so.
And if you have a good rapport with the with the host too, I think you naturally just give because of that, you know, yes. Because they've made you feel at ease. And you're actually so right, because I really have had some interesting people on my show who have really shared really interesting things and things I didn't even know about. Some I did, but it was nice to hear it from another perspective. So even though we were like complimentary of ways of thinking, but she came at it from a different angle. And so it is a really great way to be able to learn it. And as you say, sort of get some free coaching along the way. That's kind of a interesting way to look at it. I didn't do that intentionally, but it is a nice benefit of hosting your own podcast, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah. There was one other thing you had mentioned. Oh, yes. When you also mentioned about the no-shows. And I just saw, and it's not even discovery sessions, you know, where people don't show up for those. I saw a post just yesterday from a friend of mine who's a massage therapist who had someone didn't show up for their appointment. And everybody's like, well, do you have a cancellation policy in mind? You need to be billing them for that, for your time. And it's true. It's like, I think I've only had maybe one or two people who didn't show up, and it was for something where they legitimately, you know, thought it was the wrong time. And I think I even did that myself where I was a guest and I,
yeah, as I said,
I did that too. But I mean,
as I said, over 10 years, yeah. I admit to one or two.
Yeah. Yeah. As opposed to,
and I also admit to one time where I had my guest actually dialing in to do the interview. And I canceled it right when we were about to start. But I was dealing with some actual existential life stuff at the moment where I just could not mentally do that interview. And they were understanding, and we rescheduled it then and there. So, and they themselves being a pro understand that life happens sometimes. Now, what I don't accept is if somebody keeps using my scheduling app to reschedule the interview 4, 5, or 6 times. It's like, no, my podcast is not a vending machine. Exactly. You show up for your convenience. Mm-hmm. If in fact, what people need to be aware of is if you are booked to be on somebody's podcast, even if your interview has not been recorded yet, you're probably already baked into their marketing schedule. Mm-hmm. Because they have an expectation the interview will happen on the date and time that it's been scheduled for, and then it'll then appear in a lineup X number of days, episodes, or weeks away.
Right.
So to just say, oh, well, I can just go to OneTub or Calendly and I'll just click the reschedule button. Okay, I might allow it once, but when it starts to get this 2, 3, 4 times, I say, look, my podcast is not a vending machine and it's not your own YouTube channel. We take our bookings very seriously. So depending on my mood, the person, and a lot of other things, I may say something to the effect of, okay, I see you've rescheduled this twice. This is the date that is now going to happen. You cannot reschedule it again, or you're not going to be on the show. I may phrase that slightly more nicely and rearrange the words a little bit, but that's actually the message I want them to hear, which is you've already done this twice. There is no third time. You're committed to this date. You will show up with bells on, ready to go, or you will not be on my show.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing is that people need to be aware of is that this is your show and you are allowed to set the rules. You are allowed to say, you know, yes, I want you on and no, I don't want you on. And that's okay. Because
I encourage people just to be nice about it. Right. I've requested to be on shows and my booking agency has put forth its clients, our clients asking the host to interview them. And I remember two types of hosts more than any others. The ones who were really, really nice about it, whether they said yes or no, mm-hmm. and the ones who were complete jerks about it. And in both cases, I do tell the stories, not only to on other podcasts like this one, like I'm doing right now, right. but also to what I call my MAC, my mutual assistance community. As a podcaster myself, I'm allies with other podcasters. So if one right. of us has a guest on and I think, you know, this person would be really great on Denise's show too. I might say, hey, Denise, I had so-and-so on my show here. Check out their one sheet. I think they may be good for you too. Would you like to interview them? Mm-hmm. However, I could also say, Denise, you know, I just had this person on, and their name was Terry or Tracy or Jamie or Lou or John or whatever, and I'd say, you know, I had John Smith on. Boy, is he a prima donna pain in the ass. Well, I just pulled Denise's coat on that, and guess what booking he's not going to get?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So my advice to everybody, and I'm going to quote Eli Delaney, who's our mutual friend, mm-hmm. Although I'm going to sanitize his quote a little bit, is just freaking be nice.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. It gets you so much more in the world.
And I also encourage people to be authentic with podcasting. It's meta marketing where mm-hmm. people get to see who you authentically are. It's and that's actually the whole point about it. If they're considering working with you as a client or having you as a client, then you want to see what people are really all about. So right now you see my office supervisor, Princess Alessandra Francesca, mm-hmm. who is briefly joining us here. And if somebody were to look at this, they may say, oh, look at the cat daddy holding his little princess. Well, those are my people.
Yes.
Now there may be some watching to say, oh, he let his cat on the show? How unprofessional. I don't know. Not that they're not nice people, but we just may not click at that level because in our interpersonal interactions, mm-hmm. most of them are going to begin with the story of the latest thing my cat did.
Yes, absolutely.
Alessandra or her sister Stella, who is right now taking a nap on her upside down cat bed.
Well, you're fortunate to have them, or maybe not, depending. have them with you. Mine are in the other room. So occasionally I will, if I have a UPS delivery, you may hear my dog, but thankfully the UPS truck already came today, so we're good. You won't be hearing my dog's barking.
I took care of that a long time ago. All my mail goes to a third party mailbox. I figured this one out well over 10 years ago. I was living in my first apartment. I'd been in business for about a year and a half. I lived in this building that had 16 units, and most of the demographic were people who worked 9-to-5 jobs. Mm-hmm. There were cases where during the day I'd be the only person in that building. So the regular UPS guy would come by, and a couple times I just happened to be walking down the steps and he was standing outside the door. And I was like, okay, this is the UPS guy. I'll open the door so he can leave the package on the inside.
Right.
Well, he started to put two and two together and he made a comment to me and said, hey, you know what? From now on, I'm just going to buzz you when I need a package light. And yeah. I said, well, not only is that not going to happen, but I will be speaking with your supervisor to reinforce that message in case you're not hearing it right now.
Yeah, that's not good. I'm not your doorman.
And it was about 2 days later that I had an external mailbox set up, mm-hmm. And everything goes there. I even have it set up so that my residential mailing address will reject incoming mail as returned to sender.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Nothing comes to me here.
I see that.
And the reason why is actually very simple. Those inconvenient knocks on the door when you're in the middle of something.
That's true.
And this goes to environment and noise control. Yeah. And this is a concern that some podcasters have. A lot of times it's just the little things. Mm-hmm. Does it matter if your mailbox is right next to your door, or if you stop by 3 times a week because your mailbox is next to the grocery store you shop at? It makes no difference. I had a case where after I got the external mailbox and I notified I notified, say, all the people in the family and the family friends group and all that. And I had one of them say, you know, that's kind of a rude way to treat a family member. You should not be having them sent to a third party mailbox. What is your personal mailbox? And I said, look, if you want to send something to me and I tell you to send it to a mailbox in Vladivostok, Siberia, to have it forwarded through Canada via Transnistria to ultimately land on my doorstep after it passes through New Hampshire and Oregon, then that's what you're going to do. Otherwise, don't send me anything.
Really? What does it matter?
And I'm only sharing that slight amount of abrasiveness to it because to be successful in this, we've discovered that sometimes entrepreneurs are reluctant to start their podcast for a number of reasons, but what it really comes down to is fear. Mm-hmm. And it's a fear of disappointing yourself. It's a fear of disappointing somebody. It's a fear of looking like an idiot. It's a fear of somebody thinking you're a jerk because mm-hmm. you stood up for the standards of your show or the standards of your business. Right. And sometimes you just have to take that attitude of, hey, look, it's, as you said, it's mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you want different standards, start your own podcast.
Right.
And yeah, that's all. Just like it would be start your own business. I mean,
I've had folks say to me, well, you know, like my Business Creators Radio Show, which is one of my shows, is audio only. They're 60-minute episodes. They're like listening in on private mastermind conversations. I conduct them while sitting out on my balcony, slouched down in my lounge chair, and I usually have a cigar lit. That is not a media pose. And I'm not going to hold a media pose for an hour while I have that conversation. Right. Ain't going to happen. So if I have the people say, why can't you turn your camera on? It's like, because it's my show and I don't.
Yeah.
It's an audio show. Yeah. I do have, now you are on my other podcast, which does have a video component to it, because I chose to. Now, yeah. Your show, when you invited me to be on yours, you informed me that it's both video and audio. So I'm not going to say, well, I don't do video. So how can I? It's like, no. This is Gloria's show. I'm going to show up the way Gloria needs me to show up, and I'm going to do a damn good job.
And so far, so good. I appreciate
that. Thank you. The story I like to tell is, yeah, I live in Las Vegas. It's in the Pacific time zone, and I'm more a night owl by nature. So there may be opportunities for me to be on shows where the episode would actually take place at something like 8 a.m. Now, I'm often not even awake by that time. And on the days that I allow phone calls to be scheduled, they don't happen before 10 a.m. my time because I just don't like to jump in.
Yeah.
But if I have a podcast opportunity that I really want and it's going to happen at 8 a.m., I'm going to get a wake-up call and make sure I'm there for it.
Well, sure. Yeah.
You know why? Because that is my opportunity to be of service. Mm-hmm. And that's how the other person wants to do it on their platform. That's how I'm going to do it. So you keep that mindset and you just take all that prima donna nonsense and just forget about it. And just focus on, this is an opportunity for me to be of service and make the world a better place by being part of it. And forget about all those little rider requirements and the green M&Ms and everything else. Now, I occasionally get folks who say, you know, don't ask me about politics or don't ask me about my wine collection, whatever. It's like, I wasn't going to anyway, but I won't.
Yeah. Sounds good. I wanted to ask you a little bit about, I'm intrigued by the name of your book that you wrote. We mentioned it at the beginning. So Groundhog Day is an event, also a movie, but not a business strategy. So what do you mean by that?
All right. There was a 3-year period in my life where I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up. So I had clients. I loved working with the clients. I loved the work I was doing with those clients, but I didn't really know what kind of business I wanted to have. And the marketing I'd done up until then referred to things I really didn't want to do any more of. When I looked into the future, all I saw was a blank screen. So what do you think that did to my marketing? It kind of killed it, except I had the Business Creators Radio Show where every week I opened a new conversation that could lead to closed deals and expanded opportunities. Toward the end of that period, a friend of mine actually gave me this idea. His name is George Bruno. He's an actor, among other things. He said that he liked to visit my Facebook wall because almost every day I would post either a rant about something or a share about something I saw interesting. And he said, I love keeping up with editions of the Daily Atom. I thought, okay, the Daily Atom is already taken. So what about the Morning Atom? Okay, well, there is a Morning Atom out there, but he hasn't done anything in 3 years. So I'm going to go with that one. It's not, and then I checked, it wasn't trademarked or copywritten. So I made a decision. I started a blog. It was simply called The Morning Atom. The only design was an avatar of my face. That's it. For 90 days, whatever I posted anywhere on social media that inspired me, that I wanted to share, that was grinding my gears or what have you, even if it was just funny stories, whatever it was, I was going to post that blog once a day. Use a social media channel to build a following around it, which went pretty well. At the end of the 90 days, go back into the WordPress site and categorize those blog posts into categories. Categories became chapters, which went into the outline of this thing called a book.
Oh, very good.
Let's go to, I first outlined it right around, I think it was December 2016, give or take. And then life got in the way and the project kind of got set aside. I suddenly got real busy with business. Mm-hmm. And I just wasn't in a position to write a book. So then fast forward to say maybe July, August, 2017, I was speaking with my business coach, Jim Palmer, and I told him that I really had this project. It's still on my mind. And he asked me, bottom line, why do you want to write a book? And this is the owner of Success Advantage Publishing, which is a company that helps people write their books.
Okay.
And I gave him the answer. I said, you know, it's been my experience, not only for myself, but with a lot of other entrepreneurs I work with, and even some of the people on this call, believe it or not, that no matter what happens in their business, whether they launch something really big or some opportunity comes along that sets them into orbit, by the time the dust settles, they keep finding themselves right back in that same place where they have the exact same level of profitability or lack thereof. Sometimes it's even the same dollar amounts. And those same irritating, annoying questions that are these big problems they keep trying to solve are still there year after year after year. Why hasn't the subscriber list grown? Why haven't we added a zero to our revenues, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And I mentioned to Jim, it feels like they're in that movie Groundhog Day, except in hell. Which is actually a quote from NYPD Blue referring to Groundhog Day. And he said, Groundhog Day is an event, not a marketing strategy. I said, well, this isn't a marketing book, it's a business book. So, okay, business strategy.
That was it.
Groundhog Day is an event, not a business strategy. So to tell you the final piece of the story, again, I got really busy with some things. And next thing you know, it's about January 5th, 2018. Mm-hmm. I had this outline. I had already copy-pasted the episode, the blog posts, into a master Word document where I could begin laying the groundhog story and the analogies on top of it and creating the transitions and everything. So I was on my way. And I realized, now think about it, what is the best day of the year to launch a book that has the word Groundhog Day in it? February 2nd. February 2nd. So here it is about January 5th. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm either going to wait another year for this. I'm going to wait another year to write this book or publish this book, or I'm going to retitle it and do it a little later this year, but then I lose the groundhog theme, which I'd already developed to a certain degree. And it might not be as interesting to either me or my audience. Very next day, I had the opportunity. There was a seminar happening here in Las Vegas, and they had a speaker in their lineup who canceled. I happened to be friends with the meeting planner behind that event. She put out a post on social media saying, we need a speaker to fill in on such and such a topic. Well, son of a gun, I'm a speaker on that topic they're asking for. I said, I'm right here. I've got examples right now of that topic. I have a signature talk that's based on that topic that I could get up on stage and do right now. I'm here in Las Vegas. You don't have to pay for my hotel. You don't have to pay for my flight. In fact, I even come with an illuminated glove compartment. Where do I sign? And at that point, I decided, screw it, let's do it. I went to that seminar and gave a speech, and I announced that Groundhog Day is an Event, Not a Business Strategy would be hitting shelves on Friday, February 2nd, 2018. Then I cleared my calendar for a week, went to my secret hiding place, and just camped out there all day. And within a week, I basically had the book done. There was just a matter of having the introduction transcribed, a couple little things I added, getting a little bit of peer feedback. Mm-hmm. Peer feedback. You know, they kind of mean the same thing. A little editing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Have somebody teach me how to post it on Amazon. Round up the people who have been following the Morning Adam and the people who have been following my posts about the progress of my book. Pull them all into a private Facebook group and rally them that on February 2nd, they're going to go buy the Kindle copy for 99 cents so I can get my international bestsellers badge. And son of a gun, we did it.
It's amazing what a deadline will do for you.
Broke all the rules. Screw it. Let's do it. So option one was wait another year. Option two was change the title and be bored with it. Option three was do it anyway. Mm-hmm. And this book is not perfect. There's one place where it says, here are the three reasons why something, and then It goes on to list five of them. And I forgot to go back and edit after I came up with two more when I was in the developmental editing process. I have a copy of the Groundhog book. It sits on my desk, and it has post-it notes and stuff in it that mark the couple edits it needs if I ever go up and decide to edit the manuscript, which I'm not going to do.
Well,
I don't care. So what? I mean, the best review I ever got, and unfortunately, this is a guy who did not really use the internet. His name was Trevor. He's a guy I knew here in Las Vegas, and he attended one of my local book signings and bought it there. He told me that he had been sitting out on his patio one morning after he bought the book. He had his coffee and he had a cigar, and he started reading the Groundhog book. After he'd read about 10 pages, he just started laughing and couldn't stop laughing. Because when he read the words on those pages, he could hear my voice saying them.
Ah.
That's exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
I want people to pick up that book and see authentically who I am, how I think, mm-hmm. and what motivates me for my intersection of my brilliance and my passion. Take it or leave it. I hope the right people take it.
I love it. And I just want to point out for those listening that there's a couple of really important points that you shared there in that story of things that you did. And one of them was being prepared. The fact that you had a signature talk ready, and that also then that you were able to take advantage of opportunities that came along. So when someone said, hey, we've got an opening for a speaker, you were like, I'm there. I've got it. And you were ready and prepared to take advantage of that. And then
if they said the speaker missed their flight, we need somebody to get on stage in 2 hours, I could have done it.
Yeah.
That was simply a matter of saying, okay, send me your logo so I can add it to the slides and make it look like yours. Tell me a little bit about the event. I'll take 10 minutes and go over my slides, maybe change a couple things. Mm-hmm. Then I just need to get my suit on. Get my assistant on board to cancel the rest of my day, and I'll see you in 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's perfect. That's really important. If you want to be a public speaker, that's what you need to do. You've got to be prepared. And then I do love how you did take advantage of that to state that, you know what, I'm going to publish this book on that day because it really did make sense. I have the same thing with my book because it was a big part of it deals with my sister, and her birthday was February 21st. And then when I realized that this year was going to be 2021, was like, okay, I have to have the book done in order that it can be published on that day.
02-21-2021. Yep.
Yeah. So it's all in divine timing. So I love it. You have shared a wealth of information here today, and I am really pleased that you could be here. And there's like so much, and I love your passion. It definitely comes through along with your brilliance. I wanted to invite you to share with our audience, if someone wants to be able to get a hold of you and maybe join either the podcast community, or maybe they want to contact you about being a guest or offering to have you be a guest on their podcast, what's the best way to connect with you?
Okay, the easiest way, of course, is to join the Everything Podcasting community on Facebook. And we do have a URL for that, so you don't have to go searching. It's www.everythingpodcasting.group. I'll say that again slowly. www.everythingpodcasting.group. Not .com, because that's being held hostage by a domain broker. .group. And that'll give you the direct link to join the Everything Podcasting Facebook group. That's really the fastest way, because most of the time that I spend on Facebook is in fact in groups. And that's obviously, since it's mine, one of them where I spend a fair amount of time. If you want to connect with me on social media, as of our conversation, the only two places you'll find me are on Facebook and LinkedIn. So those are the two places you should connect with me. Pick the one you like best, or pick both. I may have profiles in other places. If they even exist, you'll probably see that they're all blacked out because I don't use them. Don't add me. Facebook, okay. LinkedIn. I reserve the right to modify my answers to that later, but I want to make one other final point.
Okay.
As an entrepreneur, as an influencer, whatever you call yourself, and this is for our audience, there are so many different ways that you can exude your brilliance and your passion, make a difference for your community, market, and audience. About 9 months ago, I looked at all these social media networks that I was on, and a lot of them were just repeating content from the ones I actually participated in. There was one network in particular I couldn't even stand logging into, because just the way that they use their algorithms to control what displays in their sidebars and the way that they amplify certain content. See, as somebody who understands neurolinguistic programming and how PSYOPs work, I knew that the entire platform was designed to engage me by enraging me, making me feel down, making me feel sad, making me feel like my side was losing and that everybody was out to get me, so that I would get in there and start yelling at people. I don't want that. So, delete.
Yep.
Now I feel so much better. You don't have to be where everybody else tells you you have to be.
That's
just
right.
Because they say something like, well, if you're not on this platform, then you're not really in business. Or how can you call yourself a podcaster if you're not on Instagram? Very easy. I call myself a podcaster. I'm not on Instagram. I just did it. Look, wow. And in the case of Instagram, and again, I reserve the right to change my answer to these questions later. I don't have many pictures of myself. Not only do I not take selfies, I'd like to see selfies eradicated, because I believe that selfies kill. There are websites that track selfie-related deaths and injuries. I think they're the worst thing that's happened to our society in the past 100 years as far as how we dialogue with each other. I mean, there's so many studies. Oh my God, I hate selfies. But anyway, so you're not going to see me taking many selfies. I don't take pictures of much stuff. And part of that is because I tend to be a very private person as far as how I move through the world. If you ever see pictures of me posted at a seminar or conference or what have you, you can pretty much take it for granted that seminar or conference is already over, because I don't like things posted about myself when I'm not home.
Mm.
All that being said, what the hell do I need to be on a platform that's about pictures? So, and in my communication, I do best with the written word. Mm-hmm. I do live streams in my Everything Podcasting group once a week.
Yeah.
They're on Wednesdays usually. I usually have notes in front of me because that's how I do better presentations. That's how I do it authentically. I don't like doing live streaming personally, but I will do it in that case because I feel that it's appropriate and I feel that it's a great way of engaging. So my bottom line to you is, find ways of sharing that you will not only be comfortable with, but will be in alignment with your authenticity, with your truth, and will motivate you to want to keep doing it. That's how I feel about podcasting. I love the opportunity to have these candid, meaningful conversations with great people like you, Gloria. So that's why I do it. I could do 100 different things, but podcasting is my thing. And that's what I want everybody in the audience to consider, is find your intersection of your brilliance and your passion and serve authentically. your community, market, and audience, and make the world a better place with you being in it on your terms in alignment with your truth.
Absolutely. I love it. Yeah. And I'm 100% with you. You don't have to be everywhere, all the time, just because people say that you need to be there. So like, you know, if you don't want to be on Clubhouse, you don't have to be on Clubhouse. If you don't want to be on Instagram, don't be on Instagram. It's okay. There's plenty of places out there to hang out and to meet awesome people like yourself. So thank you so much for being here. I appreciate your assistant showing up from time to time too. She's a very beautiful kitty.
Oh, yes. She runs things around here, as you can see. My biggest concern about her, and those of your audience who are alorophiles, which means people who like cats, will understand that there's something about a cat's ability to step on your keyboard and find the one button that will screw everything up.
I try not to let mine near it anymore. Yeah.
more than once, I've walked away from my computer or my laptop while leaving it logged in and come back later to see that Alessandra or her sister had gotten on the keyboard and managed to post to my social media.
Oh, no.
And it looked like about 19 lines of the letter F or whatever. It's to the point where I'm recognized enough as the world's best cat daddy that people will reply to these posts and say, "Hi, kitty," or "Alessandra, get off the keyboard. I'm telling your dad."
I love it. Oh, goodness. Well, we could talk all day and all night. And we could, but I've got some other stuff to do today, and I'm sure you do too as well. So thank you again for being here. I appreciate it. And I will have all of the information about the Facebook group will be in the show notes for everyone. So if you're not in a place to have jotted that information down, don't worry. Go to liveloveengagepodcast.com and you'll be able to see not only this episode, but all of our previous episodes. And I appreciate you for being there and for listening and watching. And until next time, as always, I encourage you to go out and live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. Did you know that a majority of entrepreneurs tend to discount the importance of their work? And a good number feel their success is simply due to luck. I know from personal experience that self-doubt can keep you from having the kind of life and business you desire. That's why I've created a free guide called Uniquely You, How to Move from Self-Doubt to Self-Love in 4 Simple Steps. To claim your free guide, go to liveloveengage.gift. That's liveloveengage.gift.